What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loud out, what do you got?
All right, so Cappy, listen up. I know you're not here because you want to learn how to dance better. According to you, you know how to dance, but anyways. Latin dance is saying that, there is a study that is saying that if you learn, like, merengue, any type of Latin dance that has a lot of steps, it can actually improve your memory.
Yeah.
So they were saying there was a study done with 300 Spanish speakers over 4 years at 12 different Chicago cities that found, and this was over an 8-month span, that they found that people actually did better after the 8 months in their working memory. So because of the steps, you know, I feel like some don't have a lot, but like merengue, salsa have a lot of like little repetitive steps.
Mm-hmm.
So after going through all these classes, they would go twice a week. They found that their memory improved.
I believe it. I mean, listen, dancing takes actual, you have to learn to dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have it naturally, of course, but
like me,
like some of us Latino people, you know, it just comes naturally, but some
and
people,
I can jump high.
Yeah. Well, there you go. but you know, for others it takes a little work, but I do totally get like the, of course, anything that's coordination makes it helps you learn. I don't think there's no doubt.
I took one of those dance classes, jazzercise things at the end of a class. We did an entire routine. Based strictly off memory.
Yeah,
really?
I believe it.
Do you still know it?
Absolutely not. But then, I mean, you had to rehearse, you know, it was cool. But yeah, it's memory.
Yeah.
It helps you think.
There it is. So get some dance classes, people. It's Friday anyway, so go dance somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
All right, so Tim Bontemps, ESPN, NBA reporter, insider, friend of the program, going to join me here now. So, look, we're obviously fresh off the finals. Tim has been covering the Eastern Conference pretty much the entire season, particularly that Northeast quadrant, and has been around the Celtics for a long, long time throughout this postseason. So, Tim, I'll start here. They are up 2-1. What the hell happened from that point on?
They got completely discombobulated, George, by the Golden State Warriors defense. And that really is where the series was won and lost. You look at the way this thing played out. And, you know, everybody's talking about Steph, and I understand why, right? He was incredible in the series. But Golden State was only scoring right around 105 points a game every game, right? They basically had the same points every single game of the series. The difference was when Boston struggled, they struggled on offense. And Golden State did a tremendous job of mixing up coverages, throwing different looks at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the rest of the Celtics. They got them completely out of rhythm and out of whack. And as a result, they just felt like they were playing uphill the whole series, and they were throwing the ball over the yard, and the Warriors are getting out and running, getting easy baskets as a result. And that is ultimately why the series was won. It was won by the Golden State Warriors defense. And that really, if you go back through their playoff history, George, and you know this, haven't covered the league for so long, they have won because of their defense. Every time they've been in a tough spot, back when they played Memphis in 2015, when they had to dig deep, series of KD in 2018. You know, you go back, all those different moments in OKC in 2016. Yes, they had these individual incandescent performances from Clay and Steph and Draymond like they always have, but they've always relied on that defense to carry them forward. And that was certainly, to me, what the difference was over the final three games in particular of this series.
You did cover those Warrior teams back then, too, so I do have a question about them in a second, but let me finish up on Boston here real quick. There was a lot of chatter as this series progressed, like, hey, is Jason Tatum the best player on this Celtics team, or should we be considering Jaylen Brown? And I know that they don't want to be pitted against each other, but as someone who's been around them now, like, what do you see when you see the differences between those two?
I mean, look, I think, to me, some of these things are a little reductive, right? I mean, Jason Tatum is a more talented overall player. I think he's a better ball handler. He's a better distributor. He's a better overall player than Jaylen Brown. But when Jaylen Brown is going well, he is really damn good. And I think the two of them have gotten to a good place where they really like each other. They like playing together, and they coexist really well together. And I think you look at the way their relationship has evolved over time. You know, those guys, I think, really want to make this work. And they've talked about that a lot, that the two of them want to make this work together. And look, I think the Celtics are going to be back. They got a young team with all these guys under contract for years going forward. I think there's a ton of reasons to be optimistic if you're a Celtics fan. But at the same time, this series was there to be won. And for all that the for all that the Warriors did to win this series, and I certainly think they won it, if you're a member of the Celtics this weekend and you're sitting at home thinking about what happened, there's a lot of things that the Celtics are going to regret about the way they played this series. And, you know, very easily, if they'd done some things differently, it could have gone a different way.
Tim Bontemp, ESPN reporter, insider with us here. So, look, I mean, I'm with you. I think they're going to be there. The top of the East is going to be a bloodbath, at least for the foreseeable future, but they're going to be in that mix. I don't think there's any doubt. Now, flipping to the Warriors real quick, because you were there when KD was there, if I recall correctly. So, how much sweeter is this one for them? Like, I know they haven't actually said that, and Steph, to his credit, actually credited KD when he was talking to Scott Van Pelt last night, but you've been around these guys. Like, there had to be a sense of this one was sweeter without KD, right?
I mean, look, there's a couple things to say here, right? The first thing is, I don't really think that we should be trying to denigrate the championships those guys won. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but there's sort of been a theme of that already today. Like, oh, you know, those KD championships don't mean as much.
But yeah, no, that's silly. That's stupid. I'm with you.
That Cavs team in 2017 was incredible. Yeah. And in 2018, they went seven games with the Rockets. Now, I think they were on cruise control, and I think that was, to me, that was the greatest collection of talent, and particularly in 2017, that we've ever seen. And that was just an unbelievable team. But to me, the thing that made this championship clearly mean more to these guys, I don't think it's about George not having Kevin there or him not being around for it. I think it's just because of everything they went through over the past 3 years to get back here again, right? And like you said, I moved out to San Francisco and KD signed there. I was around that team for 2 years before I came to ESPN on a daily basis. And those guys obviously went to five finals. They got to the mountaintop three times. They knew everything about winning and winning at the highest level, right? And then all that got taken away. Klay missed two entire years with injury. Steph missed an entire year with injury. Draymond has been in and out of the lineup. Earlier this year, we didn't know what was going to happen with Draymond's nerve issue with his back, right? There was a half the season he wasn't there, and we didn't know what he was going to be able to do. And so for everything, even Steve Kerr with his back stuff in the past, like all these guys have been through so much stuff during this run. And it was interesting being around those guys at the start of the series, talking to Bob Myers, talking to people behind the scenes. There was a real appreciation for being back in the finals again, right? It was like, after everything we've been through the last 2 years, it's just great to be here. And it's great to be back in this moment again and to have another opportunity to win again. And I think that was what you saw from all those guys last night. You saw the emotion of being able to get back there again after everything they've been through. And I think for Steph in particular, for all the talk about him, you know, not being worthy of being finals MVP in the past. And, you know, is it a failed part of his legacy? He hasn't won that award before. And, you know, all the doubters about him, whether he could lead a team again to a title, all that kind of stuff. I think when you saw him hugging his dad at the end of the game and the emotion that was coming out of him as a result of that, I think it's all that stuff, the culmination of all that stuff and all those pain and heartbreak and things they had to endure over the past several years to get them back to that moment. I think that's why it meant so much to them and why it all played out the way it did.
Yeah, for sure. And look, I mean, I did the West Series with them and, you know, Klay on, you know, I did the interview for SportsCenter. I mean, he was crying basically on air with me. And you know, Steph talked about the patience they had to have. So I'm with you on all that. I am just curious about the Kevin stuff because, look, everybody loves the drama. But either way, let me ask you this, because this is something I brought up earlier in the show, which is that, you know, Steph and LeBron, you know, everyone's talking about where they rank in history and everybody's always trying to rank people or whatever. But here, there's one significant difference, I think, between Steph and LeBron. And it's something I just alluded to. LeBron is amazing. He's arguably the greatest player of all time. He's in that top two or three or four, wherever you want to put him, whatever. But I think his biggest flaw is lack of patience. Whereas with Steph, for better or worse, he's kind of sat through this and talked about having to have patience to sit through what transpired the last couple of years. And to me, that's kind of the difference between the two and how they got here and what could potentially happen moving forward, where I feel like I'm never going to say LeBron's window is closed, but I'll tell you this. I feel like Steph's window is more open. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, George, I can't believe you would argue that the team that just won the NBA championship has a larger window than the team that just missed the playoffs and missed the play-in tournament. I can't imagine why you would make that argument. I mean, listen, yeah, obviously, look, I mean, you know, LeBron, like you said, LeBron has had an unbelievable career, but certainly he made the move to Los Angeles for reasons outside of playing just basketball games, right? I mean, that's why he went to a team that wasn't ready to win at the time and certainly is not ready to win now. And to your point, this Warriors team still is on an upward trajectory. Like, Steph has just, you know, just had the greatest game I've ever seen him play in game four of this series at 34. He with his shooting ability, he's going to be able to be really good into his late 30s, health permitting. You know, Clay will probably be better next year. Draymond is still an elite defensive player when it matters. Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, James Wiseman, all young guys that could get better. Andrew Wiggins really came into his own in this series and in these playoffs. He's taken big steps forward. They've got money to spend to go get guys. Like, they have the chance to be a real factor for a long time. And I think to your point about patience, you know, look, it also means more, I think, that Steph has just done it all with one team. And that's not to denigrate LeBron for going to other places, but when Steph just has a connection with the Warriors and with the fans there that guys who play their whole career on one team just do. It's just different, right? Whether it's Dirk or Kobe or Tim Duncan or any of these guys who, if you spend your whole career in one place and go through all the ups and downs of everything that's happened there and your fans kind of see you rise and fall, and, you know, Steph dealt with the ankle injuries early in his career, then they had the huge highs, they had the lows the last couple of years, now they're back up again. I think when you're in a situation like that, it just – you're able to kind of see the whole picture in the moment, right? You can look from start to finish and see it all as it plays out. And I think it does add a little gravitas to it. And I think, like LeBron, going back to Cleveland and winning that title in 2016 meant more, to go back to your question about Kevin. I think for everything the Warriors went through and everything that was said about them in the wake of Kevin leaving and everything that went on, I think it was clear that championship yesterday that they won, it means more for different reasons. You know, it really does resonate with them in a way that the other ones they've won have not.
Last one for you. Tim Bontemps with us here does a phenomenal job covering the NBA for us here at ESPN. Darvin Ham, I like the hire. I know you know you've covered the East for a while now. You've probably, you know, crossed paths with him and talked to people about him. I'm curious to get your thoughts on him briefly, but I also feel like because of the situation that they find themselves in that we just discussed a moment ago, the Lakers, that is, I feel like the bullseye is on Rob Pelinka in a way that it hasn't been to this point. So, A, what do you feel about – how do you feel about Ham, and how do you feel about the – do you agree with me that the bullseye is on Pelinka now in a way it hasn't been previously?
Well, I'll start with the first part because it's simple. I think Darvin Ham is great. I liked every interaction I've ever had with him. He has respect of every player he's been around. I think he's got the chance to come in that room with a different voice. And, look, I thought it was interesting. He basically came right out and said from the beginning, I'm going to talk to Russell Westbrook about sacrifice, right? He has the ability to walk in and say, here's what I need you to do. And if he doesn't listen, now that Russ had an expiring deal, maybe they just send him home, right? I mean, we'll see what happens there. And Darvin does remind me a little bit of Ime Udoka in terms of his approach and his sort of his gravitas. Two guys that were grinder players, you know, role players on championship level teams and have grinded it out as coaches, won NBA championships as assistant coaches. I similar temperaments in that they don't yell and scream publicly, but they get their point across. I think Darvin's got a chance to be a really good coach. I thought it was a really good hire. As for your question about the Lakers and Rob in general, look, it's hard to know exactly in Lakerland where things sit at any given time, given there's a lot of long-term deep ties here. And certainly that's the case with Rob and Jeannie and everybody else involved there. But when the Lakers, coming off last season, when the Lakers missed the playoffs, you've got the potential of LeBron signing this contract extension this summer, looming over the team, right? If LeBron doesn't sign and you go into the season and there's sort of a wondering about what's going to happen next, and you don't have a situation where the Lakers do use picks to move off Russell Westbrook, say, to try to bring in some players to help, and this team is kind of floundering, and, you know, they're probably, to me, at best, a play-in tournament team again this season, you know, then all of a sudden you're looking at a situation where there is going to be a lot of heat, I think, in a lot of directions. And it will be very, very interesting to see where that heat is dispersed. And, you know, to your point, you go back to the start of last season, you know, as our buddy Brian Windhorst wrote in his annotated story on the Lakers, you know, Rob said to the team that was, you know, arguably the greatest collection of talent the league had seen, right? And that team didn't make the play-in tournament. So I think it's safe to say that given how spectacularly the Westbrook experiment has flopped, whether it was his choice or not, it's on his watch. And now that they've fired Frank Vogel and hired Darvin Ham, people are going to be looking somewhere else if the Lakers continue to struggle.
He's Tim Bontemps, does a phenomenal job covering the NBA for us as one of our ESPN NBA insiders and reporters. Brother, you're the best. Thank you so much. Enjoy the offseason, and I'll see you at Summer League.
I mean, George, the offseason has not begun yet. The offseason begins after Summer League. So yeah. I got plenty of work to do between now and then. But
okay, well, all right, fine. I was going to give you a couple weeks off here, I mean, for the love of God. But okay.
We got the draft on Thursday and free agency the week after that, man. Come on.
I didn't know you were going to be knee-deep in draft talk this the next week or two. So that's fine.
You know how this goes, buddy. We get to mid-July.
All right. Well, then you know what? I'm going to bug you again a couple times before mid-July then. How about that? All right.
Anytime, buddy. Please do.
You're the best. Thank you, buddy. There he is. Tim Bontemps joining us here on Sedano and Cap here on 710 ESPN. All right. A lot to discuss there. We'll do that on the other side. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Come on, DeMarco.
You forever.
Nah. Nothing. I mean, I think I know their music, but when, I was more New Edition back in the
day. Right. When were you at Washington?
Yeah, I was. When was I at UW?
Yeah.
89 to 93.
Okay, so this is then. This is 89.
Yeah, yeah. But I was more, you know.
No, New Edition. I got you.
Yeah. Any heartbreak.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'm sure some of the other ladies on campus were into New Kids on the Block.
You know what? I don't think I've ever dated a girl that loved NKOTB.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think, yeah.
They just did a show. Didn't they just do a show at Crypto.com?
Yeah, we were all supposed to go to
it. We were supposed to go, but I was also covering the NBA, so there was that.
For some reason, I skipped right over to the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, really? There was quite a gap.
Definitely NSYNC.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I was way
That's
more
Timberlake.
NSYNC.
Yeah.
Timberlake is NSYNC.
I never dated a girl that loved New Kids.
See, that was like my high school, like young high school, like freshman, sophomore year of high school, like NKOTB.
Yeah.
They were like super popular.
See, I was like in elementary school.
When were you a freshman in high school?
91, 92.
Okay. Yeah. If I would have played New Kids at my high school, it wouldn't have gone over very well.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah. But anyway, they were definitely, they were huge, man. It was, I mean, listen, good for all those bands, by the way, because they're touring. Who were they touring with, New Kids on the Block?
They're with Salt-N-Pepa.
Salt-N-Pepa.
Yeah.
Rick Astley.
Rick Astley.
Never Gonna Sing.
And then Vogue.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And who?
Can you do that again?
Never Gonna Say Goodbye.
That's good.
That's a very good limited song.
Limited fake Rick Astley
over
there.
I love that song. Yeah, absolutely.
And then who was the other? Was it En Vogue?
Yeah, En Vogue. Yeah.
Oh, God. I go see the show for them. Yeah.
Totally. En Vogue is good.
Can I tell you a funny En Vogue story?
Yeah.
I walked right into a wall. I did. This big glass wall at this place. Oh, my God. Was it called BB? This department store. Or one of those.
Oh, yeah, BB. Yeah.
One of those boutique stores. My girlfriend at the time was working in that store, and she said En Vogue is here shopping for their concert. So, of course, we came down. Big buzz. And I was so enthralled, head turned, walked straight into a glass wall, and shook the entire building. You want to talk about embarrassing? Yeah, yeah. Big time. That was my only shot, and I blew it. I almost knocked a hole in the wall. Became
That's
the juggernaut.
Too funny, man. Oh, good Lord. But that is some stuff right there, because everybody has that moment in their life where they're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Wish I had that one back.
You got one? Come on. I just gave you one. Give me one. Don't leave me hanging.
I wasn't the one driving, but my buddy and I were in the car. He was driving, and there was a girl walking by, and we were just like, this was like in the school parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? And we're like driving, we're both like, damn. And all of a sudden, he wasn't paying attention. Now, he wasn't like hauling ass. He's just like foot off the brake. And just like bumped into the next car. And everyone's like, oh no, what the hell just happened?
I was just like,
oh damn, man, everybody's going to look at us now.
I hope it was worth it.
It was.
Has anybody in the room ever caused an accident? Anybody?
I mean, everybody's caused an accident at some point
like
or another.
Like a car accident? Yeah, I was like, what type of accident are we talking about? There's a lot of accidents that happen, you know?
Right.
the same.
Yeah. Hey, so real quick, thanks to Tim Bontemps for joining us there. So I thought it was interesting. He's in on the Darvin Ham hire, which, look, I think everyone is. And, you know, you heard you and Tracy were talking about it earlier. Like, yeah. Him and Ime Udoka have a lot in common, okay? And, you know, and Tim mentioned it, both kind of role players, grinders, but had tons of respect in the locker room when they played. And, you know, went through the assistant route for several years. So that part, I don't think anyone is not telling the Lakers, hey, great job on that hire, because he's a guy that's been on people's radars as a head coach for years. But the interesting part is this, and we've been talking about this for a while since they let go of Frank Vogel, which is, okay, now the pressure's really on Rob Pelinka, the general manager, because you're in a situation where you're counting on Darvin Ham to fix the schematics, but let's just say there's still a ceiling to that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason or another. And they can't get the job done, which, look, here, job done is winning a championship.
Right.
Then, if you can't fill the roster with the right guys, who are you looking at? You got to be looking at the general manager. The bullseye's got to be on him, unfortunately, in that spot.
The last piece on the chessboard, right? You're all coming after him. 100% agree. Darvin Ham, I can't wait, but if they offered you the job, or anybody in this room the job, you know what the job is.
Yeah.
Do you know what the job is with the Lakers?
You got to make Russell Westbrook work.
Right. Yeah. So that's all we're talking about. Right. I hope that's the case. We even asked Tracy McGrady that. What is the perfect situation with LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook? How does that work? No one says with the three of them on the floor at the same time starting the game.
Right.
It's always
Russ
Westbrook
comes off the bench.
Is that possible? If that doesn't happen, if he refuses that, does that cut the legs out of Darvin Ham?
No, not completely, but it just has to be some of the stuff that, look, he talked about, I'm going to need him to be the screener, I'm going to need him to be the roller, I'm going to need him, we're going to have to do creative stuff to create space with
him. But you never mentioned bench.
Right.
See?
He didn't.
Right.
He didn't. I don't think that's on the table. But okay. I think Tracy's right, and it's something I said last year. I'm like, if Russ really wanted to sacrifice, because he talked about sacrifice, he did some interview, I don't remember who it was with. He did it with some writer last year, Russ. And it was like, yeah, I'm here to sacrifice, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, look, bro, if you're really going to sacrifice, you're probably better off coming off the bench in this scenario.
True.
Because the spacing with them on the floor isn't great.
If he figures this out, he's coach of the year.
Yeah. Oh, right? I agree.
Yeah, if he figures out how to keep all three of these guys, number one, healthy,
yeah,
and playing at the same time 100%. Without Westbrook coming off the bench,
yeah,
he's coach of the year.
Yeah.
Easily.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm with you. Look, I think the Lakers, you know, if you look at them right now, despite all the stuff that's happened, okay, they're tied for sixth as far as, you know, title favorites. It's the Warriors 1, Celtics 2, Nets 3, Clippers 4, Bucks 5, Lakers and Heat tied for sixth.
That's amazing. That's just because of what?
LeBron
and AD,
sort of, I guess. Yeah.
Didn't I hear Stephen A. say something about that? About he would take a healthy AD over Luka.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
How close is that to reality?
Well, here's the thing. I think availability matters.
Oh, yeah, it's the best ability there is.
Right. But here's what I would say. I think Luka is going to be a generational talent. And by generational talent,
he's not now.
Well, he is already to some extent, but he's still young. Like, okay. What if he doesn't, you know, gets hurt, right? And
yeah,
a career-ending injury, you know, then he never fulfills the potential. But, you know, he's now year four, right?
Yeah.
Rookie season didn't make the playoffs. Bounced in the first round, a seven-game series against Clippers. Bounced again, seven-game series against the Clippers. But like,
that not counts against you,
not because of him,
right?
Right, like
but that does count against you.
And then he gets to the conference finals.
Right,
that's a big step.
Right.
Okay. And there's not a lot around him, in my opinion.
But you would take AD over him?
No.
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 Okay.
If you told me,
but not by a long shot.
No, not by a long shot.
Okay.
But if you told me right now, you could have Luka or AD to start your team?
Yeah.
There's no question I'm taking Luka 10 out of 10 times.
I wouldn't mind picking second either way. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. But here's the way I look at it, because J.J. Redick was the guy on with Stephen A. that day, and he's like, because he was saying, Stephen A. was saying, I'd take him over Luka, I'd take him over Jason Tatum, I'd take him over Jimmy Butler, and J.J. was like, you're taking a Robin, in this case, over a bunch of Batman.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm not willing to do that. And I get it. Now, Jason Tatum, 2 days ago, I
said yes. Have we found him yet?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm checking milk cartons.
But by the way, yeah. The same stuff that people are accusing of Jason Tatum, people have said about Anthony Davis but just recently.
You better get Sam Girard after Jason Tatum. But, you know, the guy that chased down the fugitive, that one.
Right.
Because he disappeared.
But the other two that Stephen A. mentioned?
Yeah, yeah.
Luka and Jimmy Butler. Now, Jimmy Butler's older now. Jimmy Butler's 31 years old. That's a different story. But yeah. Nobody's saying Jimmy Butler isn't, like, giving it his all. Like, Jimmy Butler, prior to getting bounced... And prior to getting hurt in that conference finals, was putting up numbers that only Michael Jordan had in the playoffs.
Right.
So even though, and he doesn't shoot threes, which is a rarity in this sport at this day and age. So, but Anthony Davis, to me, Richard Jefferson nailed it one day on television on ESPN. He said, Anthony Davis is a top five talent. He's not a top five player.
Okay, that sucks.
Skill set is there. Yeah. But the accomplishment is not.
I remember you brought up college. My freshman year, I was lazy, and the defensive coordinator, scary guy, little Irish guy, looked me right in the eye and said, "What do you think? Potential is a French word for haven't done anything yet."
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst word in the English language. Well, same with this. I mean, potentially AD could be that guy, but has he been?
He was a big reason they won a championship, the one championship, but... He's been banged up ever since. And honestly, the year after the championship, he came in bad shape, I thought.
I just wonder, like, if they do get it right, if Darvin Ham does fix this thing,
right.
They become a juggernaut, and they challenge the Warriors, who I don't think are going away.
No.
Yeah.
No, and Tracy's right, because they're getting the reinforcements of the young guys only getting better now.
I heard a funny take. This will be the last finals appearance from both teams for a while.
No.
That's what I said.
No chance.
Maybe Boston taking a step backwards.
The East is really tough.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the West is tough, too. But I just feel like when there's a saying in the NBA, is he a 16-game guy? 16 games as in he won 16 games to get the championship.
Right.
Like, is he capable of being that kind of guy?
Right.
And the Warriors have a couple of those 16-game guys now.
Yeah. I wonder, does Frank Vogel, this is just a thought, does he wind up like Jeff Fisher? You know, he was the guy that couldn't get it right, and then McVay steps in.
I don't know.
With the same team and makes him a contender.
I don't know.
I wonder what happens.
I don't know. Frank Vogel's a good coach. Yeah. I just think that Frank Vogel plays a specific style of basketball, and particularly on defense, and they gave him a bunch of dudes that don't play defense.
That's a bad combo.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. To your original point, yes, all eyes on GM.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure Frank Vogel, in retrospect, is like, hey, what do you think? Defense? Can you think these guys can play defense? And in his head, it was Samuel Jackson going,
wrong, mother.
Yeah, that's probably what happened. So, hey, Radio Tinder's up next. DeMarco's in the house for Cappy today. We're back in 2 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks, Chris. Boy, I don't really remember where I was during the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase. Actually.
How old were you, Lindsay?
I was in elementary school. Wow. I feel like I remember them like breaking into it during lunchtime. And it was
exciting. No. It wasn't lunchtime. It was nighttime because the NBA Finals was on.
I'm thinking of the trial.
The trial was definitely, the verdict was during the day.
Yeah. See, I don't remember because I was too young, so.
How old were you in 1994?
Eight years old.
Wow. Yeah.
Seven.
I remember because the Knicks and the Rockets were playing in the NBA Finals, and they did a split screen on NBC.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Costas at halftime said, this is what's happening. You're going to get a split screen, and you're going to like it.
Shocking.
Yeah. And I was watching that, and I was sitting there in my room
We had gone to Burger King.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was having whatever I was eating that night.
You've been in locker rooms before.
Yeah.
Yeah, in team settings, it's unity, right?
Yeah.
Win or lose.
Yeah.
Nothing split our locker room like the OJ trial.
Oh, I believe it.
I mean, like, it was night and day.
Yeah.
Like, overnight, we became enemies. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That was a dark day in sports.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Linz, what do you got?
All right, so again, reiterating that I'm really, really excited about Chris Morales' open.
Chris loves to have the energy coming out of his open.
So I have tons of energy to talk about Pepsi, which Pepsi gives everybody energy. And apparently one man, it gave him too much energy because he's been addicted to it for the past 20 years, or at least he was. So the man is 41 years old, and he used to down 30 cans of Pepsi a day and has spent over $8,000 a year, roughly $25 a day, drinking it. The man is from Wales, and he's guzzled an estimated 219,000 cans of Pepsi, which is the equivalent of 7 million sugar cubes.
Oh, my God.
Since he first started drinking it in his early 20s. But a recent trip to the doctor revealed that he was pre-diabetic. Shocker, you know. So he decided to live a healthier lifestyle. He started working out, changed his diet, but he could not kick the Pepsi habit. So his wife evoked the help of a hypnotist.
Ooh.
And guess what? His first session was 40 minutes over Zoom, and he claims that he is now fully recovered from his soda craving.
Wow.
Just after one session, and he drank water for the first time in almost 20 years.
DeMarco, are you a soda drinker?
No, rarely.
Me too.
Yeah. Rarely. I used to. Yeah.
Well, for sure. I would say I stopped drinking soda regularly. I can pinpoint the year. I was doing overnights and national overnights in radio. It was 2004, I want to say. And I was like, I got to stop this because I'm getting like jittery.
Yeah.
And so I stopped caffeine, cold turkey.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
And
yeah.
And I still don't. I mean, ask Laura. She'll know. She's been here. Oh, she's not here right now.
But how'd you do? Yeah.
I would say I have a cup of coffee 5 times a year, maybe max.
Really? Wow.
It's got to be like I did a game. I had a 6 a.m. flight the next day, and I got to come here to try to do the show.
Like it's necessary.
And I'm just completely wiped.
Okay. Good for you.
But yeah, I definitely don't drink soda anymore, and I loved Pepsi.
Every morning I got to have coffee. Oh. How big is this guy from Wales? Is he huge?
No, he wasn't. He was just like an average, I don't know, maybe like 250 to 300 pound
guy.
He
spends $25 a day on Pepsi.
Damn.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
He used to.
How much is a 12-pack of Pepsi?
Well, I don't know, $5, $6.
$25 a day.
Yeah, so he's going through a lot of those.
A lot of them.
Oh my God! And he's not. Yeah.
Well, and it's British pounds, so it's more expensive.
Okay, and how? Let me see his teeth.
Oh yeah, his teeth. I mean, they don't care over on the other side of the pond about their teeth, though. I feel
careful
like dental
with
hygiene.
That.
Well, I feel like that's just like a general thing. They don't. They've said that they don't invest in like dental hygiene as much.
Well, yeah. He must not have any teeth. How many sugar cubes a day? How many?
I don't know. It was like 25 million
that's
in
ridiculous.
His lifetime.
Wow.
So it leads me to my question.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you guys believe that hypnotherapy works? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
So I'm going to swipe left because I don't think it would work on me. But I know a couple of people that they say it's worked on them. But I don't buy it. Maybe if you want to bring in a hypnotist and have them do it, feel free. But like, I don't buy it.
I'll swipe right. I'm married. It obviously works.
That is a very funny joke, DeMarco.
It's funny. All right, what's next?
Oh, man. I believe in hypnotism, by the way. I think it works. And it's going to change my life someday. But anyway, you guys travel a lot. So this story has people wondering, would you give up overhead bin space if it meant that you'd have more leg room? An aircraft designer has created double-decker style seating for commercial planes that would do just that. Those sitting on the top level would access their seats using steps. However, there's a few drawbacks. Passengers on the top level would not be able to fully stand up in the seats, and there's no overhead bins to store luggage, so everything would have to be checked. Are you guys a fan of this idea? Swipe left or swipe right, DeMarco?
I'm intrigued. I'll go swipe right. So if I'm sitting on the top, the double-decker, I'm laying down the entire flight?
No, it's still a seat, but they're like staggered.
Yeah, and you can't really stand up very much.
Yeah.
That's what I'm. So
you got to come down like
you
got to like kind of scooch down and then come down some steps, probably. Yeah.
It might not be good for someone like you because like you're a taller guy.
You need a
like,
bottom floor.
Yeah.
I thought you can go up there and like lay down and fly. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd take a red eye.
It's like a normal sized seat, but you don't have all the mobility.
Yeah, I'm left on that.
Swipe left.
No, there are real double decker planes that have like normal, like those like crazy jumbo jets.
The little bubble on top. Yeah, yeah. The bars up there.
They're very rare these days, but there are some. But no, it's not. Not for me. I'm swiping left. As someone who travels too much.
We came back from London, one of those, and we got absolutely hammered in that little bar.
Oh, I believe it.
It was so cool for like 3 hours. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. What's next, Lindsay?
All right, last one here. So during an appearance on the Pat McAfee show today, 11-time All-Star and current analyst for TNT, Charles Barkley dished on the Live Golf Tournament and the PGA Tour controversy, and he actually lent his support for players who took the money to join it. He said, quote, "I don't judge other people. Listen, if somebody gave me $200 million, I'd kill a relative. I'm serious. They're saying Phil Mickelson got $200, Dustin Johnson got $150 million. For $150 million, I'd definitely kill a relative, even one I like." So, obviously, he's taking things a little far here, but I want to ask you guys, not going to have you swipe left or swipe right, but like, what's the craziest thing that you would do for $200 million that would fall in this realm of what Charles Barkley's talking about?
There's probably a lot.
There's a lot in there.
I mean, why don't you just make an offer is like, what I would say.
Would you kill a relative for $200 million?
No, I ain't killing nobody.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
No I ain't committing no crimes.
No murder.
Really?
No crimes.
I mean, for
$200 million,
you're going to have to do something illegal. That's
petty theft is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, let's murder. I think I'll stop.
Draw the line at murder then.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody offered you $200,000.
$200,000?
Or $200 million.
Million, yeah.
To do a radio show in a different part of the world. Okay. You would say no to that?
I mean, no, I would. What part of the world?
Like, what if they asked you to go to do the Saudi Live tournaments and, like, broadcast those, the play-by-play for them? Let's say you were a golf play-by-play guy.
No, I'm not interested. I'm fine.
Really? For $200 million, you wouldn't do it?
Million. They're not going to offer the play-by-play guy $200 million.
If they did.
Well, I'm just saying hypothetically. Nobody thought they would offer these golfers this much money, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
That's a hard one, man.
No, I
okay.
Would you
What I would say is, if I have a good agent and they're saying, "Hey, the Live people want to offer him $200 million," he would leverage that to get something else. If I have a good agent,
right?
Facts.
Yep.
Turn down.
He'd call NBC and be like, "Yo, the Live people want him. Why don't you want him?"
What was that Laker that turned down $80 million?
Oh, Dennis Schroeder. Yeah.
Wow, poor guy.
Yeah.
And then he got a Boston Celtics tattoo. Remember that?
Yes.
We talked about that story.
Worst idea ever.
DeMarco, he only played for them for like 10 seconds. Yeah.
Do you have any tattoos, DeMarco?
I have one tattoo.
Is it a Rams tattoo?
No, it's not a Rams tattoo.
Oh, why not? Thought it'd be like a Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy.
Lindsay was very like disappointed there, it sounded like.
I saw a guy who got a Ram tattoo when we first moved to St. Louis.
Yeah.
He got a Ram tattoo and then put an arch over it and got cut like 6 months later.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
I'll never do that.
Yeah. I mean, you played for them and won a Super Bowl, so that would be different.
I would still never do that. Yeah. No.
You wouldn't get like the Lombardi Trophy?
No. Yeah. No.
What is your tattoo of?
It's a Japanese character. I was very dumb, 19 years old. Dude, thought same.
I
was cool.
I got one when I was like 16, and then I got one when like two 16. More when I was 18. And I wished I was actually telling my friend the other day. He took his daughter; she just turned 18, and he's a family friend. He took her on her graduation day to get a tattoo, and I called him and I was like, "Tell her, don't do it, don't do it." They make tattoos these days that last for like 1 to 2 years. Tell her to do that first.
Wow.
I wish I never got any of my tattoos. I hate them, and I am saving up money to get rid of them.
I love mine.
I hate them.
I don't have any.
They nasty.
None? Zero?
No.
Okay.
No interest.
I mean, how close were you? Everyone was close.
Never.
Once.
Never?
Never. Never thought of it.
Never.
Walking by, there it is.
No.
Look at that skin,
the closest
man.
Thing no. is we did with my daughter. So in my culture, in the Latino culture, although I'm kind of like, this is in my realm.
Yeah. Is this the people that can dance?
No. Yes. The girls usually get their ears pierced as babies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But white people don't do that. I didn't know that. But I'm married to a white woman.
Yeah.
And so, like...
You're expecting the...
No, I wasn't expecting anything.
Oh,
somebody
yeah.
in my family asked, and she's like, nah, whatever, whenever, later, whatever. And it's like, okay. Like, so we did it a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
We went to a tattoo parlor in Hermosa Beach because we looked on Google, and they said this guy in Hermosa Beach at this tattoo parlor does a great job with kids. Piercing their ears and all that stuff. And it was like literally there was a little girl in front of us that was like freaking out a little bit as it got closer. She's like, oh my God, I want to hold my mom's hand. And the guy's like, are you sure? She's like, yeah. It's like, why? She's like, because I'm getting a little scared. And he's like, are you sure? She's like, yeah. She's like, I already did it. You didn't even notice.
Wow.
And she was like, really?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. She's like, oh, okay. Everyone started laughing.
Legend.
Yeah. The guy's amazing.
Terrible.
Wow.
It's so painful, especially like the 2 weeks afterwards.
My daughter said it didn't hurt.
Oh, mine hurt. I remember mine hurting.
Yeah. Oh, I was a baby. I don't remember.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, no, but that's the only time I've been inside one.
Okay, yeah. One time, never.
Because I've never even been in one with one of my friends getting one. Now that I think about it,
you know what tripped me out? Like watching Odell Beckham Jr. warm up. The guy's covered in tats.
Yeah,
you never know that watching him play, but I'm like, there's not an inch of his bot. Well.
When
he's warming up.
I'm sure there's some inches somewhere.
Yes. Whoa.
Sorry. Wasn't trying to go there.
That's Radio Tinder, brought to you by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning small batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves. Sounds like we've been having Tequila Mandala already. Available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary like I do with Tequila Mandala. All right, coming up next, as a former athlete, DeMarco, I got to ask you, there's a Dodger question that I've been meaning to ask somebody who played professional sports.
Okay.
Let's dive into that next. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, Mandy.
Well, you just answered my question.
Yeah.
How much Manilow do you know?
I mean, this is it.
This is it?
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. That's the extent of it.
So Manilow's birthday and Kendrick Lamar, born on the same day.
You want to talk about polar opposites, huh?
That'd be a cool collab, though.
It would be.
Yeah, you can rock that, right?
It's so funny. You and I in the break were just talking about something else, about like people. Like I was talking about how, and maybe you guys can relate here, ladies, but I have friends in town, people I've known for years, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you go, I mean, even pre-COVID, like I hadn't seen them in years. And it's like, man, I've been meaning to see this person and I'd love to connect with them again. And it's just like, oh, they live way out there, like in the northern part of the valley. It's like, damn, that's a long ass drive from the South Bay.
Oh.
I get on the 405.
I got to go.
I get on the 118.
I got to go to Lancaster this weekend.
Ooh,
I got to go to Lancaster.
That's two and change,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, my cousin's son, graduation party. So the whole family is descending on Lancaster.
Yeah.
That takes a minute to get there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, Laura, I've only lived here like 7 years, but you've lived here all your life.
Yes, I have.
Like, to me, it's like, I got a friend who lives in the valley, mm-hmm. and I'm just like,
what valley? Wait, hold up. There's a few. Like, is it the 626 or the 818?
No, San Fernando.
Okay.
And it's, and I'm just like, I always want to get together with him. But it's like,
you got to look at traffic.
That's an hour and 15 minutes from South Bay to get there.
Oh, like, yeah.
And then it's like, okay, but then I got to drive back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hour
and 15, I'm spending the night.
I mean, for real.
No, you know, okay, so here's it. It's so funny. I went to my mom's last night after working here, right? And I live very close to downtown. My parents live in 626, which is West Covina.
Yeah.
And I never complained about the drive because
I
used to
Gabriel
do it.
Valley, right?
Yeah. So I used to do it every day, right? Yeah. Even to my other job.
Right, but now.
But now when it's like I live here and it's like a 5-minute drive and then I got to drive out there and it's like a, depending on traffic, how long it's going to be. I was like, my mom's like, you know, you don't come that often no more. I was like, yeah, I don't like the drive, mama. Yeah. I love you, but, I can phone call you now.
Literally, for my boys who live in the valley, you might as well live in another state. You know what I'm saying?
It's so wild.
Because
but it's
I
true.
Never going up there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I'm not saying never.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just like, you know, like, even, like, my wife is originally from Northridge, and it's like when we go up there, like she has plenty of friends up there, and we go up there, I'm like, yo, this is a trek.
That's a long
way. It's crazy.
Yeah. I never thought, honestly, because I would hear you guys talk about this before I moved. I was like, y'all tripping. It ain't that bad. Traffic ain't that bad.
But now, girl.
But now I'm like, damn, I feel this. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got to give it up to them.
I mean, hell, Lindsay lives on the west side. Just to come to work takes forever, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it takes, I mean, depending on the time and day and all that, but it's like the later in the day, the longer you like wait, like 10 minutes can make a half hour difference.
But, oh, yeah. And my wife works in Hollywood, like, and to like South Bay, Hollywood to South Bay on like a Friday when everybody leaves work early is a mission. Like, I'm like,
true.
Yo, is crazy. And gas is crazy. She don't have an electric car like me.
Oh,
like,
she.
Damn, girl, we need to get that electric car.
Yeah, yeah.
Let her borrow your car when she go to work.
I mean, she does sometimes.
Oh, okay, okay.
But then sometimes I need to use it.
Yeah, because he, like, my boyfriend lives in Anaheim Hills, and he comes to LA. I was like, oh, you really do love me.
He does love you. Because here's the thing. Like, if I were single.
You love something.
Michael, I know it's Friday, but damn. Because
if I were single.
Yeah.
Okay. In this town, and you'd be like, and if I, right, like if I live in the South Bay, and like some girl be like, oh, I live in the Valley. I'd be like, ooh.
I want some guarantees.
Girl, can we meet halfway?
I need some guarantees.
Can we meet, like, I don't know, like in Venice or something? You know what I mean? Like,
I wouldn't even, like, I'd be like, no, nope, not even interested.
Yeah.
Deal breaker.
For real. Like, relationships out here, like, it's wild like that.
You know what I mean? You got to work hard.
That's a long-distance relationship
there. It is a long-distance relationship. Yeah. It's funny because everyone talks about, like, you know, clearly when you move here or whatever, it's like, you know, you should live close to where you work unless you work off hours or whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Relationships are the same thing. You better have, like, relationships in the same neighborhood. If not, you're in trouble.
That's true. You ain't lying.
Damn. It's crazy, man. It's hard being single. Although easier.
No. Single's fun.
Hard being single because of all those, variables. But also easier. You and I used to have to walk up to people and talk to them.
This is true.
And back when we were kids, we'd have to call their house.
Right.
And parents would pick up phones.
Right.
I remember those days.
I do remember that happening.
Ooh, Greg's here. He wants something.
But now you just swipe left and swipe right like Radio Tinder.
I've never done that. Yeah. Never.
Yeah. Real quick, DeMarco, I wanted to ask you, so the Dodgers, Bergman actually brought this up. Bergman can tell the story better. Bergman, I was listening to you today talking about the Dodgers. Now
he looks black from here.
Okay.
DeMarco just made you an honorary friend.
Hey, I'll take that. Never said that to me before.
Keep that lighting. I like that. Go ahead.
So, Bergman, I heard you talking about the Dodgers, their division streak being snapped.
Yeah.
And that kind of takes the pressure off the regular season, right?
Right. Yeah. So last year, I mean, they had 8 in a row championships or division titles in a row. And so they were like fighting all the way to the end. When it got down to it against the Giants, and they were still like a game and a half, 2 games back, and they were still fighting all the way because they want to keep that streak going. It doesn't matter anymore. They lost it. It's over. It doesn't really matter.
So you're saying that the regular season now, they can pick and choose their spots, and, you know, they're like, whatever, if we don't win the division, we don't win, and it's not that big a deal because we don't have the streak intact.
Right, exactly. And also, you have, with 6 teams going into the postseason, and there's going to be all these different, all the
expanded
jumbling.
Playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, like, they're going to allow guys to have more off time. So
do you buy that as a strategy? Because I actually, when he said it, I hadn't thought about it. And I was like, that makes some sense to me.
I've heard it before. I don't necessarily agree with it because, you know, when you, every team, no matter what, sets out to do what first,
right?
Win the division,
yeah.
Right. So if you're in second place, not going to win the division, that's gonna hurt some a little bit. You're not where you want it to be, but it's going to increase your hunger. I guess, is that what you were saying?
Well, no. I mean,
are you saying they can relax?
They'll take the pedal off, the foot off the gas.
Exactly. They're not really worried
rest
about
guys
it.
More.
Oh no.
Yes.
I thought
Bueller's going to get more time off. Kershaw's going to have another stint at some point. They'll give Gonsolin some time off. They'll give Muncy some time. Mookie's going to all of a sudden
over 162.
Why would you stop chasing the division?
Because there's 6 teams that make it into the playoffs.
I'm with you, DeMarco.
No. He's saying if there's a situation where they fight, like last year, where they were like several games back and then they were fighting to get within a game or whatever and it never actually materialized. He's saying instead of trying to like throw everyone out there to try to win the division to keep the streak alive, that there's no longer that pressure to keep that streak alive. So you can just say, all right, you know what? We're 4 or 5 out. We'll just rest some guys and be ready for when it matters.
And look what happened. You had your arms died. Scherzer's arm died. Bueller's arm died. Urias's arm died. So now, like, you kind of give them more. Because it all matters getting into the playoffs now.
But I don't think that they care that much about the streak. Like, what does a guy on the team this year care so much about what the team did 2 years ago? I don't think that they care that much about it.
Well,
but
they're all the same guys that were there
Of them were the same guys
still, but like I don't know, I feel like who cares about the streak? I don't think they care about that much. I could be
when
wrong.
You're in the middle of the streak, it's a little bit different than when you're kind of not in anymore, and that's kind of my point. Is
I
that
think
they
you're
don't,
thinking it's just, of it from a fan point of view.
I mean,
no, I buy it. I mean, at least I did, you know.
I don't
I heard it, I'm like, Lindsay. Damn, yeah, Greg made a good point
a little bit
Every once in a while, first he calls me. I get a black card. You can say I got to make a good point. You know,
I'm just no. I'm just saying
it's a good segment for me.
I'm putting myself in that situation, and we went.
He is a former pro athlete, so I would
for a division, and then being told that we're out of the division race did not tell us to take the foot off the gas. There was that. Yeah. In fact, there was more pressure because now
well,
we.
I think football's.
Just competing. I mean, you know. I mean, you want to win a championship. Yeah. I mean, and a division title. And I've never been told that because. Yeah. We're out of the race. Let's take our foot off the gas. If anything, it was the opposite way.
I think my main point is more so that they're going to allow guys to rest more often, and they're not going to push as hard because more teams get in.
Now
and
that,
they're going to get in.
That makes sense if we're out of it and we want to rest certain guys. But
out of the division races.
They're not going to be out of
the division.
Still
make the playoffs.
We're still trying to win, but we're going to be smart about it at the same
time.
Selective. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that they're focusing on the postseason more than the division.
Okay, that's smart. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Because of the expanded playoffs now.
That makes sense. Yeah. You got to be smart, too.
Yeah. Bergman, so yes, we were just, I don't know if you heard us earlier. We were just talking We were just talking about dating in this town.
Yeah. That's why I walked in here, Don.
Do you feel like, as a single guy, that if, like, because you live in, like, the valley-ish adjacent area?
It's the valley. It's Valley Village, North Hollywood.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, North Hollywood. That's fair. It's valley. So. Like, if you met a girl who was like, yo, I live down in like, Anaheim Hills, like, you know, Tebow does. How's Anaheim that going to work?
Okay, first of all, gas is $7 a gallon. I am not driving to Anaheim Hills and back. No,
I want
no
guarantees.
Massive guarantees. Yeah, no, major, major guarantees. But no, it's hard. Like, even the last girl I was dating, I lived 30 minutes away from. And that was when gas prices were, you know, kind of where they used to be at. I wouldn't do that now. Right now,
you're saying if she ain't from the valley, you ain't dating her.
I'm out. I already got to drive to and from work. That's as far as I go.
So she can live downtown, though.
Right, yeah. You can stay downtown. That's totally
fine.
If she
lives downtown in the valley, you're good.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. No, look. On Bumble.
Like some rich lady from, like, the South Bay, like some rich girl. Or
I mean, is she paying for my gas, too?
Oh, yeah.
No, here's the thing. Like, on Bumble, you can set, like, the distance, right?
Right.
And then there's a button that says deal breaker. 0 to 5 miles, deal breaker.
Wow. Wow. All right. There you go. So Bergman is confirmed.
Wow.
The struggle is real out there.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
Let them drive to you.
Hey, real quick, coming up next, Mark Spears, our pal, who's been embedded with the Warriors. They just won their championship.
Yes, sir.
He did a great story on our pal Michael's son, Clay, that's on Anscape.com. Right now, it's on the ESPN.com website as well. So we'll talk to Mark about the Warriors and all the cool stories from last night and just kind of get his thoughts. You know, it's interesting. I don't think people are talking enough about, you know, we've talked a lot about Steph and just kind of where he ranks. But there's some real interesting, like, I don't know if you believe in numerology. I know we were talking about astrology earlier. There's some real interesting stuff that has happened in Steph's fourth championship that happened in Kobe's fourth championship.
Really?
We'll get to some of that on the other side. Mark Spears is going to join us in a second.